Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Johanna Cosgrove. Brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
We've got the right stings in this week.
I know.
Thanks, Johanna.
Always just so hyped for my own name.
It's great. That's how I feel whenever I hear my ad play on the station. I'm like,
oh, really?
That's me. That's my show.
You're like, look, Mom, look.
Hey, we're not alone in the studio this morning, though. Hello, Arlo, how are you?
Very, very well. Hi.
Thanks for popping in this morning.
Not at all.
What are we talking about today, everybody?
We are talking about Red Leap Theatre Company's new show, which is called Owls Do Cry, which has been on at Q for 2 weeks, but they still have one last week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's an adaptation of course, the famous Janet Frame novel, Owls Do Cry.
Mm.
How's it been going?
It's been going so awesome.
Cool.
Like, it was such an interesting show to make, just because I guess we like started out thinking that we were going to do like a literal like stage adaptation, like a very very classic play, but that book has
turn
just
page.
Like yeah exactly, but that book just has like these amazing sections of like poetical tangents that
cool.
go for two pages. So at a certain point in the kind of devising, we decided to just like throw away the narrative, as mm-hmm. it were, and try and like capture the essence of what that the feeling of reading it was like.
Cool.
Yes.
And so it was like a kind of a bit of a risk to kind of go in that direction, but the response has been really amazing. Like, I think it allows people to put their own take on whatever the thing is,
yes.
which is really nice. It's cool.
What I also love about the show, I came to see it on opening night, is that you have a collection of artists and you all, no one's like relegated to one specific thing. So you have Ross McCormack, who is of course like an incredible dancer, and he's speaking and acting, and you're all singing, and it's a very like intimidating triple threat situation.
Yes.
But how have you found working across form like that?
It's interesting. I think like approaching it was kind of scary, but the kind of creative team, just there was never any like doubt around anyone's capability, and I think when you trust performers in that way, more often than not, they just like rise to the challenge, you know. Mm. And so I think it was actually like quite freeing to be trusted to sing and dance and
mm-hmm.
act.
Mm.
I think across the whole cast, everyone's just like amazing at all three. It's really cool.
That is the triple threat.
Yeah,
the triple threat situation.
Yeah, but like I wouldn't say that I would normally like bill myself as a triple threat. But like, it's just cool to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Also, another amazing thing about this show is, of course, the book Owls Do Cry is set in the fictional town of Waimaru, which is Oamaru, and that's where you got to premiere the show.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was amazing because, you know, at the time, that town had a pretty, like, divided opinion on Janet Frame. Like, when the book released, a lot of people felt personally attacked
mm-hmm.
by the stuff in the book, and so that town kind of, I don't know, for one reason or another, kind of shunned that woman who...
Mm.
And so to bring it back and to present it to people who can remember when she was alive was like incredible, and the response was amazing. Like it felt like
it was really cool.
For them, you know.
Awesome.
And it was I had some amazing conversations afterwards.
It's quite an amazing little town as well. There's nowhere really like
the steampunks.
Man, the steampunks.
So we come back to steampunk so often on the breakfast show.
Every week I'm like, it's Johanna Cosgrove's steampunk corner. What's the goss? What's the 411?
Yeah.
I'm really interested. Do you want to just give like a really brief synopsis of Owls Do Cry for people who might have no idea about
it? Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. So it's a story of family who are kind of living in a fictional rural town who are in a state of poverty, I guess. And the first chapter of the book kind of focuses on this family with four children. And
mm-hmm.
at the end of the first chapter, the eldest daughter dies. She falls into a dumpster fire. And so the book then skips 20 years ahead, and it's basically focusing on how the grief of that event has mm-hmm. affected all the different members of the family. And
amazing.
Yeah.
Classic bit of Janet Frame, not afraid to go to the darkest places.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because the book was, when did she write it? It was the...
Back in the day.
70s?
It's 62 years old, I think.
Do you think that it's still, the themes in the book are still relevant?
Oh, absolutely. I think I think the way it represents that very specific kind of New Zealand poverty, mm-hmm. especially like in the country, like I feel like that is so like spot on, mm-hmm. and I think that's still present today. Also, the way it deals with mental health is so insightful. Yeah. You know, like, I think like her writing has an amazing way of capturing that, how hard that is, but also how beautiful it can be. The way like thinking differently can also be amazing, not yeah. just, you know, yeah. a hardship. Mm. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So dates and times for this
dates
wonderful
and
show.
Times.
Yeah. So we're on at 7:30 at Q Theatre. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow and Saturday, and then Tuesday to Saturday next week. So come
yes.
along.
Awesome. Yeah. One more week.
It's so beautiful. I yeah. sobbed.
You sobbed. Did the old sore throat.
Did the old.
Well, thank you very much, Arlo. What else is happening, Johanna, out in the big bad world?
I have some plugs. The first pick that I want to talk about is called, it's at the Basement Theatre, and it's called Manifesto of a Good Cripple.
That's a great title.
Such a sick title, which is immediately I was like, hello. And it's a collision of disability, humour, dance, multiple landscapes, and a subversion of inspiration porn.
Cool.
I'm sold. So the solo show reflects on the career of disability dancer Suzanne Cowan, whose journey takes her across the world and deep into the politics of diversity. And that is on the 29th of October to the 31st of October. So that's 5 shows, isn't it? I can't. And it's at 8 o'clock, it's 55 minutes, and it's in the main stage theatre, so I highly recommend going and seeing this. It looks really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the other thing is for Halloween, which is the 31st, which is Thursday, isn't it?
Wednesday or Thursday,
Wednesday
maybe?
Or Thursday. Yeah. There's 2 specials on at the Basement. They've got a live reel spooky edition.
Ooh.
Which is 3 films.
Love it.
Like condensed into one. And if you've never seen a live reel, I highly recommend going and seeing it. They choose a different film script and they give the actors the script.
So you're not going to watch a movie, you're going to watch actors read a film script.
Yeah, redo nice. You literally get the screenplay, which has been kind of condensed, obviously. And it's always a bit of a hot mess, but it's really fun.
That's the best kind.
Yeah. The best kind. And the other thing is the return of Brinley Stent's solo comedy show, Filthy Little Goblin, which is on Halloween as well.
Excellent.
And Brinley is, of course, one of the 5 Billy T nominees this year, which is so awesome. She's a phenomenal performer, and this show is a really cool example of alternative comedy. She uses sketch in a really beautiful way.
Chef kissy fingers.
It was chef kissy fingers. Chef kissy fingers.
We love it. Oh, fantastic. So thank you both so much for popping in this morning.
Not
we'll see
all.
You in a couple of weeks, Johanna.
See
and
in a couple of
we'll
weeks.
See you in the theatre, Arlo.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Right. Cheers.
That was Stage Direction with Johanna Cosgrove, brought to you by The Vic Devonport.
And we have got